Hello, you are listening to the Ooh Travel Guide. This is a podcast about the television program Adventure Time. It has recently come to my attention that the opening and ending segments of this program have been rather frightening lately, and I am here now to rectify this situation as your moral guardian and such. This is a fan-made podcast about Adventure Time. This is a program in which we speak about Adventure Time, and we talk about our feelings about the show, and we talk about theories, but not actual facts, and we discuss the things that we think about the show, because we think a lot of things about the show, and we're crazy fans. It's all just fan-made, and we do this for you, which are also fans, because you're listening to this program, so you must be fans of Adventure Time. So, please enjoy the following podcast. Thank you, bye.
We don't bleep anything in this podcast.
We're probably going to have to edit out some of my
bleep bloop.
Well, I can make out with my computer, but that would be weird.
I don't know, your caboose is pretty big, but I mean, Jesus Christ.
I don't know, you guys. Getting a little weird.
Weird!
I plan to do a career eventually. I don't want this to come back to haunt me.
We are here recording episode 7 of the Ooh Travel Guide. It's kind of a smaller crew tonight, but we're going to make it work because we have a big two-part episode to discuss. So, I am the host, Black Catula. I have not changed since the last podcast. I'm still the host, and I still do my little art thingies that don't really matter that much. Joining with me tonight, we have Renegade Pineapple. Pineapple, say hello.
Hey, everybody. I don't do the arts thing. I do the writing thing with the words sometimes, kind of maybe. I did the art thing. See, I'm just like the writer that's surrounded by artists, and they don't really know that I'm not an artist, so I'm just trying to do my blending in thing. But yeah, sneaky.
Excellent. Also joining with me tonight, Fauxboy.
Hey, you might know me as Ryan. I draw shitty Adventure Time fan comics on the internet. Glad to be back.
Shitty, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
Shut up, you guys.
Anyway, also joining us tonight, the lovely Nakio Tsuno.
Hey, guys, been a while. I haven't been here since, I don't even know. When was the last time I was here? Like, episode 3?
Too long ago.
4?
Pretty long ago, yeah.
While ago. So I'm back. I'm still doing art, and that's in fact what has kept me away.
We miss your caboose, Naki.
I'm sorry. My caboose was in some sweet pictures, so hopefully those will be up soon.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. All right. Two-part episode. Part 1, Return to the Nidosphere. Finn and Jake wake up in the Nidosphere with no memory of what happened, a la The Hangover, and just no clue how they got there or why they're there. Or why they're surrounded by bananas. The recurring banana gag. Essentially, the entire first episode of the two-parter revolves around them trying to get to Marceline's dad so they can find out, A, why they're there, and B, why they were put in jail in the first place. Entire first episode. And I just completely spaced out on what happened on most of the second half of the episode because I was too busy staring at Marceline in a suit again. On the internet.
Pretty much. I think everyone lost their stuff when that happened.
The 3 seconds she was normal faced in the suit.
I think everyone had to go back and pause right there.
Everyone paused. Like it was literally less than a second, but that was the biggest thing I took from that entire episode.
I don't care. Suit the Lion is canon and everything is perfect and glitter filled and nothing hurts.
And the suit was pink and it makes me happy.
It was. It sure was.
I keep
oh
a little.
My god. All right. Instead of digressing on just the suit, I would like to start the conversation off on giving major props to whoever designed the backgrounds for this episode.
Oh,
because
no,
when they did the long panoramic view of the Nidosphere, the Nidosphere is fucking terrifying.
Holy crap.
Oh, like man. I was sitting there slack-jawed watching my TV. It was like they decided to pull from some Salvador Dali painting and just oh my god, it was terrifying.
Yeah.
I actually had the moment where I was just like, well, hot shit, this is no longer a kid's show.
That's what they said. That's what I think it was Penn who said that in an interview that he was talking about that exact pan shot, and he said they had created one of the coolest versions of hell that would ever be shown in a kid's cartoon. And
yep.
Yeah.
I approve.
I was so thoroughly impressed by that panoramic shot. Like, I, for my little crappy fan comic thing, I go back on the Frederator, God, what's it called? The place where they dump all those, the Flickr, the Frederator Flickr account. And I look at backgrounds to kind of get an idea of what I'm doing. But the Nidosphere is not something I think I could tackle. It is just filled with every terrifying thing I could possibly think of. I'm thinking back on it again, and now I'm re-terrified of that place.
I am just so glad that it is so putrid and amazing, because I had this sneaking horrible suspicion that, like, Portal was just going to be, like, this really bad thing on the other side. It was going to be like, oh, poo, the Nidosphere is nothing. And that was just, like, my greatest fear. I was just like, if this ends up being a pushover place, I'm just going to just jump off a bridge and be like, oh, hell no, I can't live anymore. So I'm so glad that I was put in my place and proven horribly wrong.
I like how, I definitely like that it definitely wasn't a pushover area, but just how horrific the Nidosphere is, it does leaps and bounds for Marceline as a character.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Like, because the stark difference between, like, Marceline's little cottage in her cave and where she apparently had grown up, that's fodder right there for our discussion. I think we can go further into.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Definitely. Absolutely.
You know, on that point, can I bring up that sweater she was wearing?
I know.
No, really, because I think it's a tie-in to that, because, I mean, I think being put in a puffy sweater is like the embodiment of being forced to do something you don't want to do, you know? Yeah. And I think that's really what the whole episode was about. It was obviously her saying, Dad, I don't want to take over the family business. I want to do my own thing. And, you know, it's, yeah. I don't know. I think that's the only way I could justify seeing her in another horribly puffy sweater. I just really can't stand it. I don't know why they keep doing it.
Because it's cute.
It's really cute. It's really
cute. It's so cute.
I just don't have a heart, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, man. I especially like what they did with Marceline's father, just being kind of, oh, yeah, I run this terrible, awful place, but watch me in my underwear eat a sandwich out of the fridge.
Yeah.
How normal that is.
Yeah, and I think, going back on talking about who Marceline is the character and the things that she's comfortable with and the person that she's grown into, it is about, like, that comfort zone. Like, for him, it's totally, like, not even a thing. That is, like, the best place in the world for him, because he thinks it's super cool and he likes that chaos and evil. And it is, like, it's relaxing. He went to take a nap and then walked around in his underwear for a while.
Exactly.
Like, he does not care at all. He has nothing to care about. As opposed to Marceline, her happy place is in her, you know, cottage surrounded by all the crap that she's collected over the years. It's not about that place where she grew up and going back there. I mean, she goes, obviously, she said she went back there to visit her dad, but it's not a place that she would obviously want to stay. And I think that's very, very interesting.
I like how the entire premise of the episode was Marceline went to go visit her father, especially after the It Came from the Nidosphere episode, how that one ended and how everything was all, like, awkward and hard and like showing the effort of trying to kind of fix that relationship also speaks for Marceline's character and how we've seen her grow into, like, a completely different person than how she appeared in the first episode or two in Evicted and in, what was it, Go With Me, where she's just kind of like this immature and kind of brash individual, and how she's trying now, and I like that character development.
Yeah, me too. And that's something that I'd posted about on my Tumblr recently in one of those memes about how, like, the person that she's changed into, I think, is so interesting and you know, seeing that development, and you're not thinking about it, and I didn't even think about it until this episode, and it's, you know, it's about the people that she interacts with and how, you know, how she grows as a character and, you know, Finn's involvement in her life, and that all, too, is tremendously interesting, and, you know, it's not, you know, obviously her cottage has been there for, you know, however long, and she has all that stuff, so, you know, it's interesting to me that she would have, like that kind of like symbolism of the, of her home as being this kind of like, you know, her mushy, you know, inner self, would have been around for a while. But, you know, as we've seen her in the first couple of episodes of the series, she was that brash kind of like, resilient person. And so it's interesting to me, like, would, why that would be, or why she would be that way if she's, you know, has the capacity to be a much more, caring, soft-hearted kind of person.
At first, I kind of figured that Marceline was a really dualistic character, but I think as we have come to know her now, we've seen her defenses drop in a way. Like, she doesn't try as hard to have like that really tough face with the people she's come to know and trust.
Yeah,
and I think just like as her as a character, that we are able to track her progress in this. And I think that's what kind of makes her one of my favorite characters, is that she went from one thing and then it seemingly to another, when really it's just that she's grown to kind of trust people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I mean, she still has that kind of like that attitude about her. But I mean, like you're talking about that with the people that she's comfortable with isn't necessarily there, but like her interactions with her dad are still like, she still has that kind of resilience.
Oh yeah.
To be fair, her father is evil.
That's true.
I mean, you remember her last line? She was like, "Dude, Dad, that's not cool. You know, you can't just put an evil amulet on me and force me to rule the Nightosphere, you know?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, after that, she kind of opened up to him, and there wasn't that discomfort that you felt with the first Nightosphere episode, where, to me, you know, that episode, the end of it felt awkward when she was talking to her dad.
Yeah.
And this felt a little bit more like she was, like, you know, like you had said before, like she was putting more effort into mending that relationship.
Yep.
Maybe this episode kind of harkens back to that episode, makes it a little bit more, a little bit less awkward now that we've seen a little bit more of their relationship.
I really hope that they continue these like episodes with Marceline and her father, because I really would like to see how this all plays out.
Mm-hmm. So I got one word for you, and that's Abadir.
Abadir. Oh my god.
I legitimately spent like half an hour flipping invisible tables when I first discovered that was their last name, and I was just like, oh hell no, oh hell no. And then I started to say it out loud, and I'm like, you know, it's really not that bad. It's actually really fitting. But oh god, Abadir.
I really enjoy that immensely.
You too. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit.
I enjoy like the little piece of humanity that kind of gives Marceline having a last name.
Yeah.
Because other than what, Bubblegum, I guess, there aren't last names in this series.
Yep.
Pretty much at all.
It kind of gives this little human sprinkling.
Like with Simon Petrikov, that humanized the Ice King so much.
Yes, it did.
And
I agree.
It's the same thing. Like this really like humanized Marceline to me.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder. I mean, because we do know that the Ice King originally was human at one point. And so do you think we can infer, just with the whole point of actually having a last name, that Marceline may actually have been human at some point in time? That's the question.
Or that some other part of her heritage was human. It could have been possible that her mother was human or part human.
Yeah, I definitely would say that this helps that case.
Because I'm more of a believer in the whole demon heritage thing instead of just being human. Mm-hmm. I think that's too easy. I don't think Adventure Time would go down that road, but that's just my headcanon.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Well, that's why I mentioned the mom. I mean, if the mom was human or part human in some case, I mean, that could explain the human side of Marceline without necessarily just giving it, you know, such an easy explanation. Oh, she used to be human. No. Her mom used to be human.
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm not so sure that I like having the human mother headcanon, because I don't know. Something seems off about, especially with what we've seen with Marceline's father, like the likelihood of her mother having been human, it just doesn't seem very likely to me.
Maybe I like the idea that her mother would have been a vampire.
Yeah, I like that too.
Or like a, something like that, like a former human turn
yeah,
vampire.
Yeah, like maybe she was, yeah, human, then turn vampire, and then, I don't know, in some sad twist of fate, wanted her daughter to be a vampire with her or something. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
that,
vampires
that sounds
give birth
more
to vampires.
Adventure Time to me.
Oh, man.
I can't stop thinking about that suit. I'm sorry.
It was because Christy couldn't be here, she did want me to pass along that she felt Marceline looked tremendously handsome in her suit. And I have
think
to agree.
Everybody would agree to that.
Yes.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm just so glad that, like, I don't have to feel guilty about it anymore because, you know, in previous episodes, we knew that Marceline was a really versatile character who liked, you know, wear different outfits, but when people used to put her in a suit, I'm just like, eh. You know, would she really wear that? But now that it's canon, I'm like, oh, hell yes. I don't have to feel shameful or guilty about it.
Well, I like what they do with Marceline's entire wardrobe. Like, I have this headcanon that she just kind of picks up things she finds just wherever and just wears it. Because she has one of the weirdest wardrobes. Like, she goes from high-waisted jeans to like, ripped-up dresses to suits.
Yeah.
I just... Like
giant sun
between
hats.
Between the punk rock and the grandma sweaters, I really love her wardrobe.
God, it's like sweaters.
It's like seriously, like whatever catches her eye at any particular moment, it's very like frivolous to me. Like nothing's permanent. So I like this thing right now. I'm gonna wear this thing, and then like moves on to the next thing.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's so perfect. I love it.
Oh, definitely. Like I mean, it's really. I mean, there's still, like, consistency in terms of color, but, like, looking at, like, I'm going to pick Bubblegum because she has also a lot of outfits. Like, all of Bubblegum's outfits are pretty close, pretty similar. There's definitely, like, themes to them, as opposed to, like, Marceline's are so all over the place, and all of them are so cute, and I love it. I love it so much.
Yes, indeed.
I don't know. I have to say my least favorite outfit of hers would actually have to be her What Was Missing outfit.
God, I hated it to die.
I'm sorry. I'm like, if you want to go all 40 style farmer, just please don't. You know?
Yeah, I don't like that high waisted look. I don't like that fashion trend, but whatever. Yeah. I guess
the point is she had a purpose for wearing it, is and
yeah.
That she needs to cover
as
much skin.
I guess
possible.
Day wear is not supposed to be, you know, fashionable, but still, I just cringe.
My
cringe is actually, I kind of hate to bring this in, but cosplayers who just wear jeans instead of like the high waisted thing or whatever. Oh, yeah. Like I've seen like two Marceline cosplayers pull that off, and it looks good. It's always just like they look really. Like, they try to construct that high-waisted jean thing, and it doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good. Or they just wear jeans, and it also looks stupid, so...
Yeah.
That's my pretentious cosplay 2 cents, I guess.
No, I think if you're gonna go in cosplay, you gotta go all the way.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just kind of going through little stuff that was put up on the Flickr from the episode since it aired, and there are a couple things that I was actually looking for just now. The paintings and the photos on the walls, I remember glancing at for 1 second in the episodes, and I'm just now remembering to go back, but there are several that I'd like to bring up as discussion topics. There's one of Marceline's dad golfing with Peppermint Butler.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I remember that, yeah.
Which leads me... So I love Peppermint Butler as a character going, yeah. being completely, totally evil, but being in the Candy Kingdom.
I knew he was evil. I just knew it.
Well, we knew that when he went, he opened the portal to what, the underworld or something?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy just this, it was literally a photo on the wall that opens up Peppermint Butler's character as being like this treacherous, like anti- like maybe like a spy infiltrating the Candy Kingdom.
Oh, like that. Yeah. Like
there.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no. Go ahead. I'm just making.
No,
noises.
No. I was just gonna fangirl about it and like.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm sitting
here and like thinking about all the moments where you've seen him be kind of like evil, like when he hissed at.
Yeah.
Every time he hisses, he like sprouts demon eyes and vampire fangs. Yes.
Yeah. And Butler is a demon.
I think he might be.
I think he might be too.
I'm starting to wonder if maybe he's more of like a like a double agent kind of thing. Like, because I mean, obviously he's loyal to the princess. But I mean, he's obviously got connections with the other side. He's got friends on the other side.
Yeah,
I would definitely like to see how Peppermint Butler's character is presented to us, because I like that connection between like the Candy Kingdom and the Nightosphere and the underworld, like that good and bad through Peppermint Butler of all people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, there's a couple other photos. One actually I noticed during the episode because it was clear enough in the background that it's Marceline's father and Abraham Lincoln from the pilot episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
What? When did that happen?
In the original pilot that was on YouTube forever ago.
No, I remember that. I don't remember seeing the photo.
Oh, they're on the walls, just in the backgrounds. I think it was in the first parlor shot of Finn and Jake entering Marceline's dad's house thing. They're like paintings and photos on the walls. I really liked that little shout out to the pilot, but the one I was really looking for, and I can't really find a high res of, is a small itty bitty little photo that you can just barely make out Marceline's dad, little Marcy, and then another figure, which I'm assuming has to be Marceline's mom.
Yes.
And go figure. I spot the hard to find pictures, but I don't see the one that's like super obvious. I'll have to go back and look at
it. I found one. There's it is the opening shot of when Finn and Jake find the portal that they before they realize what's going on. This is in the first of the half. They're in this parlor shot with there's a round painting on the far side of Marceline's dad and infant Marceline. There's a picture of little Marcy, like how we saw in the flashback to the memory of a memory episode. And then there's a small photo of Marceline and her dad and a small figure that looks kind of like older Marceline, but I don't think it's Marceline because you can definitely see the outline of little Marcy and Marceline's dad.
Yes, indeed. Questions all around.
Oh, man.
I noticed the Abraham Lincoln one when the first screenshots from the long preview showed up on Tumblr. I was like, Wait a minute. No way. But it is.
Yeah, this is the one I'm talking about, though.
So you can see
on the far right, it's the three of them, and the figure that I am assuming is Marceline's mom is kind of off to the side awkwardly.
She is. She is awkwardly off to the side, and she's like looking at her skin tone. Her skin tone is the same as like older Marceline.
Yeah, and you can definitely.
Okay, I saw this, but I didn't see it. I was just looking at the other ones.
Zooming in on it. But it's definitely little Marceline and her father, and then someone that looks like an older Marceline kind of awkwardly to the side.
Wow.
I'd like the emphasis on awkwardly to the side.
Yeah, well, she is awkwardly to the side.
She's all like, they're like, I don't really want to be here.
It looks like a forced portrait rather than a nice family photo.
I don't know if we can read that much into it, but it does. It really does.
If you're going to read anything into it, is the size of it compared to the other pictures. The other pictures are like three times the size of this teeny weeny little group shot.
Yeah.
Well, that could have been, so I actually hate to be this person, but that could have been an intentional production thing to like, because it is so small and very like hard to make out. It could have been like, hey, there's that shadowy figure over there. Huh, it's guys? Like a, huh, like fandom? Huh? Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't put it past them to just totally just mess with our minds like that.
Yeah. So they put this in here
on purpose. They didn't just paint this background just because. They intentionally put it there.
I'm talking about in regards to the size because it's not.
Oh, I gotcha. Because it's not obvious.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Oh, of course they did it on purpose. Are you kidding me? They love to mess with the fandom.
It's established. Yeah.
They're so mean.
They're known trolls.
Mean people.
I thought, speaking of Marceline's mom, when the Adventure Time, the Frederator blog, released the picture of Marceline's demon form, mm-hmm. I remember a lot of people's reaction were like, you know, like, oh, you know, I see she has breasts. Like, is that Marceline's mom, maybe? Like, it turned out to be Marceline, but I thought that was a very interesting fan reaction, how much people want to know about, you know, Marceline's heritage and what, you know, her backstory.
Oh, and they know that we want to know. Yeah, they intentionally lead us on because they're jerks. They are big jerk butt fart.
Big jerk faces.
God, we love you, but you are fart butt jerk faces.
Sons of bleep bloops. Can we touch upon that amulet for a second, though?
Yeah, I'm sure we were going to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
What got me was the whole thing where Hudson was like, yeah, I wore it as a kid, and that's how I grew up, and blah, blah, blah. So I was just like, well, geez, you know? How long has this been going on, you know? How long has the Abadir family been running the Noosphere, you know?
Probably for a long-ass time.
Yeah, yeah, probably for a really long time. Apparently long enough to know Abraham Lincoln.
Well, and the funny thing is that a lot of the fans have this headcanon that Abraham Lincoln is Glob. So
I can
kind of understand that.
Yeah.
Didn't Penn say that there was gonna be an episode where Glob, Grodd, and whatever third entity is shows up as well as Abraham Lincoln? Pretty sure I read that somewhere.
If you could find the source, definitely spread that along.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, about the amulet, I thought because he was talking about that that he'd worn it since he was a kid, and obviously it doesn't affect his personality, but well, Marceline get really messed up when they wear that thing, like really messed up.
Yeah.
And I think that's also one of those like interesting sort of subtle details where, you know, it's about how long you let yourself get controlled by that and how it affects your personality and how evil it turns you.
Well, I guess that's the whole point of chaotic.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Mean, you know?
And like, I mean, Marceline's dad is pretty messed up no matter whether or not he's got that thing on or not. And
chaotic evil.
He's a pretty messed up dude.
He sure is.
Those bananas, man. I can't. Bananas, bananas and spiders have been ruined for me forever. Thank you, Adventure Time.
I don't understand why demon poop is bananas.
I don't either, but it's hilarious.
You're not supposed to understand.
They were thrown into the cage with the stuff. That was me.
With the stuff.
With the stuff. Oh, man. So something I wanted to bring up just at some point in this was the use of Jake's cell phone.
Mm.
Like, he has a modern-ass cell phone. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's really weird that he has a Nokia flip phone.
He could have just found it.
Yeah,
you know what? It probably is a Nokia phone, because only Nokia phones are going to survive the freaking
end of world. Oh, that's perfect, though. No, but seriously, like, that's a really good point. The second I saw that, I was like, whoa, step back, because, like, Finn's super, like, battery-operated handheld, you know, rotary phone thing is, like, a far cry from, you know, Jake's sexy phone.
No, Jake's cell phone is comparable to modern-day technology, and, like, with things we've seen, the hodgepodge technology that exists in Ooh, it was really out of place. I don't understand why Jake has a modern-day cell phone.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I like that. It's not... Oh man, it's really weird to see that.
I like how unless I'm remembering this wrong, didn't that one demon like just laugh hysterically when Jake asked if there was a place he could plug it in?
Yes, I was just thinking about that. He's like
That reaction is really interesting to me because, I mean, like, usually when you know, there's some, like, dumb question or whatever, they just kind of laugh and go, like, no. But that was a really over-the-top laugh, like, really mocking and, like, kind of insulting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, hello, you're in the flippin' netosphere. It's like, hell no. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that
yeah,
just...
Yeah, literally, hell no.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, yeah, exactly.
So...
Does anybody else think that floating half-cut stomach thing looked like a transported Tron? I'm sorry.
It totally did. I was thinking that too.
And when Finn and Jake were in the Sea of Heads, did that remind anybody of that? The hell scene in It's a Wonderful Life as the Tom Hanks one where he goes to heaven and hell to save his life. Something, something. You know what I'm talking about. That was like a direct plug-in from that scene. It's with all the burning ships and everything. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Whatever.
In any case.
Oh, look at that. I'm still going through the backgrounds, and apparently on the cabinets of Abadir's kitchen, there are little, I guess they look like little, like, magnetic plates or something for Las Vegas, Arizona, and what is that, Orlando, maybe?
Really?
Huh. I wonder if Ooh is somewhere in America. That's
possible.
Interesting.
Or maybe those are just the places that he wanted to visit.
I don't know.
Maybe those are places that he used to rule.
Las Vegas is kind of hellish.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's like, okay, let's see. Who do I want to nuke today? Let's throw a dart and see where it lands.
I like the idea that he would have memoirs of the most evil places on Earth.
Have you ever been to Orlando? Old people can get pretty snippy.
I have been. Yes,
I went to Vegas, and I only stayed 3 hours because I was like, oh, hell no, I can't stand the filth here. So, yes.
Do we have any more discussion topics?
I don't know. I think we kind of covered all the big things. Oh, actually, we should talk about the ending. I had a couple thoughts about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, first of all, I think I just like how Marceline was just like, whatever. Like, her life has moved on already. Like, mm-hmm. and she was, like,
yeah,
messing with...
Like, oh, my God.
Like, messing with Finn, like, my dad likes you, so I can't hang out with you anymore. And that was really funny to me.
Exactly.
I liked that joke.
And I like how much Finn was affected by being chaotically evil, because it's so against who he is as a character. And he was just like, he couldn't do anything. He was just laying there sweating.
I did like that ending.
I've seen some fan reaction to it. The reaction that I've seen to it has been all really negative. Like, and not negative in terms of fans disliking it, but all taking it as Finn just literally could not deal with it. And just had, like, emotional breakdowns because of it. And for, like, that's, like, the... Like, I don't know if I'm the only one that has seen that, but that's the fan reaction
I've seen. I mean, he spent, like, what, 18 days waiting in that hellhole?
I know.
Crap. I mean,
it's still very interesting that they would have taken it that way because, again, from the things that I have seen, it's all been used as a way to make Finn, like, closer with Marceline, like, to further develop their relationship. And I think it's very interesting that that's what the fans have latched on to.
What
some fans have latched on to.
I don't know where you're Marceline and Finn.
I'm not talking about the shipping. I'm talking about just
the relationship. I know exactly what you're talking about, but the only stuff I've actually seen on that has been on Tumblr, and the only part I've actually seen them taking that last little bit was for someone trying to argue Marceline and Finn as a pairing, and I just, that is wrong pairing. Oh, no, you're dead to me, not you.
That's a lie.
No, it's not.
What did you say? I couldn't hear you over my horrible laughter. Oh, God, what did you suggest?
She says she ships it.
I do ship. I ship everything, though, so I don't know. I don't even know.
You're not allowed to be a multi-shipper.
I am a multi-shipper, though.
No, you're not allowed. I don't like it. It's all right. I respect you guys and your ships, but me and my ship are going to go sail solo now, so go away.
On that note, I did actually like the Jake's protective hug that he gave Marceline.
Oh my God, me too.
Their relationship has evolved from being absolutely petrified and unable to even look at her without being afraid of her to being, you know, kind of accepting but still a little cautious to now, you know, full body contact, no care, just do it. Protect her. It's cool.
Yes,
pretty much. Did anyone else totally love Jake's demon?
Oh, God.
No, a scarier demon. Oh.
Oh, okay.
And Finn's all like, yeah, paper plate. Paper plate, man.
And Jake's just like, awesome.
Well, I no longer have anything to contribute to this podcast.
I've stopped, apparently. Apparently, 10 minutes ago when I started making up ships was when I...
That make no sense.
Yeah, that would never, ever happen.
Yes. Do we dare read some of these for our adoring fans? Because
sure.
I don't want to...
Some of these are pretty terrible.
These are weird ships.
Oh, God. All right, let's start from the top, then. We have Finn, Marcy, Jake, We have Marceline and Jake. We have Choose Goose and Jake. We have Tree Trunks and Ice King. We have LSD and Jake. We have Hot Dog Princess and Choose Goose. We have Princess Bubblegum and Princess Bubblegum. Marceline and Marceline's right hand. And Ice King, Marceline's father. And Ship of All Ships, Prince Gumball, Marceline's father.
I don't even know how...
Wait, there's more!
There's more!
Ice Queen, Princess Bubblegum, PB Tree Trunks, and Ice King's Crown, and Ice Queen's Caboose at LSP.
You forgot Marceline's dad and Peppermint Butler.
Oh yeah, Marceline's dad, Peppermint Butler.
It's canon anyway!
OTP. It's canon.
It's canon. Even though if I had to ship anybody with Marceline's father, it would be death, just because it works.
All right, I think we need to stop now.
Yeah, let's stop before we hurt ourselves.
I think a stopping point has been achieved when I no longer feel like I can contribute.
I need an adult!
I need an adult, but all three of you are adults.
That's the problem.
My little Babu mind.
Yep, poor Babu.
Oops, we broke it. Best ship, only ship.
I don't know, with all the...
Stop talking. Kat, I think you can just cut out the last 10 minutes of this conversation.
Pretty much, just...
Yeah.
So, yeah, do we have anything else to talk about at all?
No, we don't!
We can talk about some sweet, sweet shipping more.
Wait, hold on. Serious time. That banjo and that song, people.
Oh, yeah.
There was a banjo song.
You know, it was still the ukulele, but, you know.
Yeah.
She held a banjo.
I was just like, it's a banjo. Oh, my God. What is this?
Well, actually, banjos are pretty cool. They're basically the same as ukuleles, but a lot heavier. And made for picking with multiple picks on multiple fingers.
Ding-a-ling-ding-ding. Yeah, no, that's weird.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and call it. Let's wrap it up then.
I'm pretty sure we were done 20 minutes ago.
Alright, fair enough.
Yeah. Alright, I guess this is the end of the podcast. I'm sorry that you missed all that I edited out.
Thank God.
Thank you everybody for taking the time to record this with us. I love having you all here. Would you please all take a moment to say your goodbyes?
I'll go first. It's been totally awesome, guys. You know, I love being here, and I will catch you on the flip side and on Tumblr. Peace out.
Thanks for having me again. It was nice to come back and chat with you guys, and hopefully I get to come back soon.
Yeah.
The same, but for me.
What are you looking for?
Oh.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
That concludes today's episode of The Old Travel Guide. This is a fan-made podcast. All of our members, all of our panel, all of our speaking panel hosts and all that are just fans of this show. We do not work on the show. We do not work at Cartoon Network. We do not work for Federated Studios. All of our work is just our own thing. And if you think otherwise, you're kind of dumb. So... you may visit us on the internet website. If you go to theotravelguide.tumblr.com, this is the website that our Tumblr page. This is a Tumblr page, not a website. Oh, it is a website. if you go to theotravelguide.tumblr.com, you will find all of our episodes and all of our discussions, and you may ask us questions, and we might answer them on the podcast if we have time. That's the Ooh Travel Guide. Ooh, that has three O's. So the OOO Travel Guide. Tumblr.com. And we like to post things about new episodes, unless a new episode is dumb, and then we don't talk about it because it's dumb and we don't like dumb. And I hope you enjoyed our podcast because we like making them. So. Yeah, that's all. So I hope you all have a good day, and I hope that this opening ending has been more satisfactory than scary. So, bye.